Thank you, Jeff. I hope you enjoyed yourself this morning. It was great weather, wasn't it? One of the best days we've ever had in this tournament. I want to introduce a speaker. His name is Lester Pound. I've known Lester for about 9 years. He's a great friend. He's a real hard worker. He works for himself. He'll tell you about his business. And he's a family man. Got wife, 2 daughters, a son. And he'll tell you a little bit about them. He's a West Texas boy. So I think Lester has a very interesting story, and I'm looking forward to you hearing it. So I'd like to ask Lester Pound to come up and tell you his story.
Thank you, Jay, for that nice introduction. I appreciate y'all giving me the time to speak to you today. The hour and a half that y'all have given me to talk. Yeah, see, I didn't even have to tell you that was a joke. You knew that right away. But I do thank you. And to start my story, I have to tell you a little bit about myself as far as what I do for work. I do commercial playgrounds, the big ones you see in schools and churches and public parks and that kind of thing. My company, me, does maintenance, installation, design, all that kind of stuff for playgrounds. Very, very fun, very interesting business. Done that for the last 7 or 8 years. Done many things in my life. I think this has brought me the most joy, as it turns out. But as Jay mentioned, I have a wife. Her name is Jan. We've been married 37 years. The joke was always that whichever one of us said we were going to leave had to take the kids. So we stayed together for 37 years. And I can honestly tell you the last 6 or 7 have been the best. But I have 3 children. I have a daughter who's in administration in the Huntsville Independent School District. A daughter who's a CPA, lives out of Columbia, South Carolina, just got transferred to Washington, D.C. She lives with her husband, who's an attorney for the Social Security Administration. Is that too loud? Something just changed there. Okay, all right. And then I have a son who is a sales analyst for Shell, and his wife, who is a in HR for one of the oil companies. I don't remember which one, to tell you the truth. But, so I have 3 great kids. None of them live in the basement, which makes it even greater. And I'm just proud of every one of them. Growing up, I was the 2nd of 5 children. My father was an interstate missionary for the American Baptist Association. And his choice, his career choice, was to establish new churches in several cities, but basically he picked for his choice the state of Colorado. Not bad duty if you have to live somewhere. Colorado's not too bad. But we moved around a lot. We'd establish a church, get it going, and then move on to another one. My dad had a very strong, no-compromise belief about the Lord and about the Word of God and what it says. And because of that, there was always, seems like, conflict. And so as a younger child, I started to equate church equals conflict. And I, from, no, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, from when I knew better on, I tried to spend my life avoiding conflict. You can't do that, but that's what I tried to do. We were always the new kids, and we did our best to fulfill the old saying that preacher's kids are the worst. The effects of the move on me weren't as bad as they were on my brothers and sisters. I was a natural athlete. I played sports. I could make every team and make a contribution on every team. So I fit right in no matter where we went and how often we went, which in my 7th grade year was 3 different cities. 3 different schools in 3 different cities in my 7th grade year. So you can get an idea from that how much we moved. That was tough. The personal effect, as I say, on me wasn't too bad because I fit right in. I was a class clown. I like to make people laugh. I like to laugh. And still to this day, I do enjoy it. That's being real in life is the ability to laugh, I think, for me. During the growing up years, my father obviously preached the gospel a lot. And as we started these new churches, we got to hear the gospel story every Sunday. And I can tell you how personal it was. When we started the new churches, many times we met in our own home. And many times, our family of seven were the only ones there. That did not stop church service. We went through everything. We went through the singing. We went through the passing the offering plate to the sermon to the altar call afterwards. So we got to hear the gospel, and I got to hear the gospel then and knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed God. I needed Jesus, and I recognized his death for me, and that he needed to be part of my life. So I made that decision at an early age. I can't tell you when that day was, how old I was, what the situation was. Some people, can point back to that day, and that's great. I just can't. And even though I made that decision to have Jesus come into my heart, I didn't make the decision to follow him. And so I did not develop the relationship with my Lord and Savior, and I really had no training in that. So I ended up going pretty much my own way. I don't know if it was the strict upbringing or the conflict in the churches, but I became one of those that just, the rules were not for me. I had no respect for authority. An example of the no respect, well, I'll give that in a minute, but no respect for authority. I ended up going to college at West Texas State University in Canyon, Texas to play baseball. Had a good team, it was a good program. Clyde Cash, some of you young guys won't know who Norm Cash is, but some of you older guys will. Norm's younger brother Clyde played on our team, and that was kind of a fun deal having him around and some of the notoriety that went with that. But I wasn't on scholarship, so I played till my money ran out, and then I had to quit. And unfortunately, something jumped right in to fill that void, and that was fraternity life. And man, did I like that. I'm telling you. After how I was raised, everybody loves me every minute. Are you kidding? That was the best thing at the time, I thought. That started a trend in my life that was always the party, always living just for me. And it caused a separation in a lot of different areas. And I'll explain a little bit about that separation in a minute, but finally, I crammed my 4 years of college into 8 and finished. Thought I'd finished. My last 12 months, I took 52 hours to graduate. And in the respect for authority thing, I'm going to tell you this. I got into a fight. Just many women around. It's a business contest. With the dean of the business school, and he didn't allow the last hour and a half that I took that year, and so I left college with not a degree, with no degree, hour and a half short, just for my stubbornness and unwilling to follow the rules or to adhere to the rules or to somebody being an authority over me. That's what it was like. My first job after college was I was an assistant manager at the Civic Center in Amarillo, Texas. We were buying new chairs for an auditorium, 6,000 chairs, and so we were interviewing companies that made chairs. And one of the companies brought me to Kansas City to see their operation. Those, by the way, are the ones chairs we ended up buying. And they treated me nice, put me up in the nicest hotel, brought me back from dinner one night. We had dinner at the Arrowhead Stadium in the owner's suite at the time. They impressed this little old country boy, I'm telling you. But I hadn't been to the big city at all. They took very good care of me. But I walked into the hotel to go up to my room, opened the elevator doors, and there stood Reggie Jackson, Roy White, and Billy Martin. They were in town to play ball that week, and I couldn't even stutter. I was so nervous I couldn't stutter. Usually that's what you do when you're nervous, but I couldn't even do that. So that was my brief brush with fame. I left that to go into the securities industry, where I made a lot of money and spent a lot more. And unless you're the government, you can't get away with that. It's just not going to work long term. You know? Can I hear an amen? Yeah. It's not going to work. So the greed finally caught up with me in financial ways, and that led me to a life of deception and a life of dishonesty. God pursued me always during that time. I remember, you know, his presence with me, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew. I didn't have to have somebody tell me that. I knew that. And so I recognized his attempts to come after me on many occasions. And there were brief periods when there was some semblance of following God's word. But they were brief, because every time I got out of a mess, I'll take it from here, God. Don't worry about it. I got this. And then the next thing you know, you're back in the mess. The greed finally, as I say, caught up with me, and I couldn't see a way out of my consequences except through my cunning and self-serving efforts, excuse me, which again created a profound separation. A separation from reality, a separation from my family, not physically. We stayed together, but our guides weren't the same. Our goals weren't the same. We had that separation. When the consequences come, I thought, after all of that time, that I would be the only one that would suffer because of what I'd done. Turns out I couldn't have missed that more. I missed it by a mile and a half, and it just was awful. It was consequences for... excuse me. Consequences for my victims, my family, everybody around me. The life, as my family and I knew it, ended, and it ended very quickly. Pain and hardship was there for many people, and it resulted in the loss of my freedom. The positive of that, there was the load lifting. The load was gone. This thing that I carried around on my back for all these years was gone. Not because of a lightning bolt from heaven that said, "Son, you're lifted." Didn't happen that way. Just changing from being deceptive and dishonest to I don't have to do that anymore, which in reality was working out fine, because I'm telling you, my memory was going. And when you lie, you got to have a good memory. And mine was going. So, but anyway, all that worked out and that load was lifted. And so, excuse me, I need to get a drink of water, I guess. So, I didn't get close to God. That would seem to be the normal time that you would get close to God, is in those times of the absolute hardest there. But I was so stiff-necked and self-willed that I said, I didn't ask your help to get into this. I'm not going to ask your help to get out. I'm not going to come crying to you now that I'm in this spot for you to rescue me from something that I have obviously made the decisions to do. But immediately after that time was up, a mutual friend introduced me to Jay Baker. Jay and I met a time or two, and then he asked me if I wanted to study God's Word in the process of Operation Timothy. You know, I said, yeah, sure. And so I just started this job in the playground industry, and so we met every week. I don't know, it was 12 months or 18 months, something like that. But we met every week. Jay was very faithful in meeting with me. And through that process of Operation Timothy and God's Word, it led me to see that God requires payment for sin. In the Old Testament, it was sacrifice. In the New Testament, it was Jesus' death on the cross. Well, he redeemed me. Jesus redeemed me by taking my sins as far as the east is from the west. That was something I relearned at age 58. I'd been spiritually dead up till then, but at 58 I was reborn. I became alive by allowing Christ to lead my life. I was a new man. I had fought that for so long because I didn't want to lose control. You know, if I start being a Christian man and I'm not going to be able to drink a beer when I want, I can't do this, I can't do that. And I'm going to run things myself. So I did a little spreadsheet. It took about, a minute and a half. And I said, okay, here's what's happened. I've been under control so long, and what have I done? Pain and suffering. If I give God control, what's my risk there? What's he going to bring me? Peace, joy, lack of fear. Seemed like a no-brainer. So I said, why not? And so I've tried it. Losing control was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I look at the relationship between God and me as that of a loving father. And my loving father knows what I need. He knows what's best for me. And he'll provide that for me if I'll just let him. So To make this long story shorter, relationships have been restored with my family. God says that he can restore the years that were lost to the locusts. He's done that with me. So I want to end here with a few songs. No, we're not going to sing. Did y'all not get the hymnals? A few words from a song that has just tremendously affected my life. And if you're familiar with it, then you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, I encourage you to at least listen to it. I'm not getting royalties off of it, so there's nothing in it for me. But this is by Big Daddy Weave, and it's called My Story. If I told you my story, it would be a freedom that was won for me. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served and where mercy wins. Of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. To tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you. Amen.